In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst. The word sin is Christian cultic speak, which sometimes I'm aware of when it's said within our services or at various times that people may not really understand what it is. In the West, or in the U.S., mostly it's thought of as transgressing some commandment, which, of course, sin is transgressing commandments, like the Ten Commandments, or it's primarily viewed in those sort of terms as doing something that was forbidden somewhere in the Bible. In the Christian tradition, there's a broader definition which has to do with how we're created as human beings. You see, as human beings, we're created to grow closer to Christ and to be pure in our hearts, and that through our tilling of the garden and the Garden of Eden, that eventually Adam and Eve would be able to become Christ-like by ever and ever coming closer and closer to God. And so sin in that sense would be viewed as anything that somehow breaks that direction and breaks that communion. So we're created to grow in light, to grow towards Christ, to become light bearers, to become Christ bearers. And anything we do, or anything we avoid doing, that turns us away from this light and turns us towards ourselves, is considered sin. And then the consequences of sin is that we become somewhat irrational. We become animalistic. When Adam and Eve fall in the garden and they hide and they go through and then they're sent out from the garden, a certain irrationality sets in their soul. Now, once they bask in the glory of God, and now they have to survive. Animals worry about survival. It drives them by their instinct to eat food, to do the things, to make shelter. But in human beings, it's amplified, because the instinct doesn't simply stop at just enough shelter and just enough food. It pushes us for more and more. And so in the corruption of the fall and of sin, we can become animalistic. And the more intense the situation, the more dire the consequences, the more, when you go to third world countries or you see people in extreme levels of poverty, morality isn't necessarily a consideration for much of the population. That's, of course, not true for all populations. Morality, what I'm trying to say is that just because you live in a third world country and are poor doesn't mean you're immoral, to be clear. However, in extreme situations, you often find these sort of things, morality, these prayerfulness, the way that we live our lives and the things that we take for granted in our existence are stripped away, and you see often people clamoring for what? To preserve their own lives and to save themselves and to survive in any way they can. I mentioned in the class on Tuesday, Viktor Frankl, he talked about people at his camp turning into, there were those who became more human and those who became more and more depraved like animals. So when we sin initially, we turn away from the light in any small way, it darkens us a little bit. But the typical pattern is that we always sin more than once, and so we try it again. Eventually, these sort of turns away from God become habitual. But it's not just that they're habitual. They groove lines within our mind and within our soul. And then on top of that, we have a spiritual realm that comes in. The spiritual demonic realm, which comes and looks at these spaces that we make, that we remove God from, as opportunities for them to enter us and to reinforce whatever sickness we may have. And in today's gospel, we encounter a demoniac, and the fathers, early fathers of the church, some of them, consider that this, number one, this man was a Gentile, so he was outside of the law. But number two, he was also said to be somehow sinful. We don't know how. He's from the city. We don't know how he's sinful. But over time, he has, through his sins and through his life, become entirely enslaved to the demonic realm. And the demonic realm has him living as an insane person. To dwell inside the tombs for a Jew was a sign of insanity. To have to be guarded and chained. To have to be someone people avoided, to be socially isolated. Everything that this man did initially in his life that may have been sinful, never foretold or never told him that he would enter up in a state where he would be completely isolated from his society, set aside and totally controlled by other beings. But that's what happens, and our Lord comes to him and delivers him from that legion of demons. Our turns away from God, the subtle things we do to either avoid God or those direct things we do to break the commandments, have consequences. Now, we can certainly go to confession and be cleansed, and God forgives you. When you ask him to forgive you, he forgives you. But if you go into battle and you get cut and you get stabbed or you get shot, when you come out of that battle, you may eventually be healed. That forgiveness will heal you. But it also leaves its damage. It also leaves scars. And it also, every time we sin, we set ourselves up to create patterns, and of course we invite the demonic realm into our lives. Now, on the one hand, I wouldn't want to scare you with that. On the other hand, I think we should be a little nervous about that. Our Lord is good, he can deliver us. But you think about how casual Christians have come nowadays. And we're called to live a circumspect life, to watch our tongues, to live in such a way as we glorify God, to serve others, to be prayerful beings, people who are pursuing and putting on Christ. And if we're not doing those things, then it means we're probably doing something else, because we fill that vacuum with other things. So the challenge within today's gospel and within our own lives is to, again, go to Christ. The presence of Christ scares away the demons, delivers people. One of the simple ways in our tradition is simply by invoking the name of Jesus in the Jesus Prayer. So that throughout our day, we're not necessarily formally praying, but at least we have Christ on our mind and in our heart and on our lips. And we're calling upon his name so that his presence will come upon us. We want to be close to Christ because we want to ultimately be forgiven and stop sinning and be healed. We want to achieve the potential that God created us to achieve. It's not simply about avoiding the do-nots and doing the do's. A lot of it is about us becoming who God has created us to be and feeling, getting a sense of direction, fulfillment in life. In Christ, it's about life. But it's also about avoidance of death. Because if any of you have experienced the slavery, the irrationality, the inability to pull yourself out of certain sins or pull yourself away from certain things because your soul has become entrapped by its patterns, and in some way has been reinforced by the spiritual realm. It is no fun being demonized. So may our Lord God deliver us from all the demons, all the secret ones, the ones we don't know of, and all the ones that we are familiar with and which we may have even procured and invited into our life some way. May he heal us, may he redeem us, and may we be clothed and put in our right man, right mind, like the man in today's gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is in our midst.